Hey there, and welcome to Not Your Average Counsellor, the podcast that's here to shake up your perspective on life, love, relationships, and everything in between. I am your host, V. Vinci, and let me tell you, I am not your run-of-the-mill counsellor, and I'm on a mission to help you uncover the key to unlocking your fullest potential. You see, I've been around the block a few times, and I've probably gathered more life experience than four therapists put together. From battling a brain tumour, to divorce, marriage, grief, parenthood, and supporting my son come out the other side of a life-threatening illness, I've been through it all and then some. So I get my clients, I understand their pain, hurt, and challenges on a very deep level. But what truly sets me apart is my approach. I'm all about keeping it real, keeping it simple, and keeping it effective. Because complexity, well, that's the enemy of progress, and that's why I'm a firm believer in the KISS principle. Because let's face it, life is complicated enough already. This podcast is your passport to a more rewarding and simpler perspective on life. My aim is to help you understand the why that drives your thoughts and actions to create change, embrace growth, and create the life you truly want. So sit back, relax, and buckle up for some truth bombs, laughter, and a whole lot of inspiration. Let's dive in. Not Your Average Counsellor is rated PG. Parental guidance is definitely recommended. Hello, today we are joined by our special guest whose story exemplifies the notion that it is never too late to embark on a journey of growth and empowerment. So before I introduce our guest today, I just want to remind listeners that doors close for my Me, Myself and I Mastery program this Friday. That's Friday, the 1st of March. A link to the website is in the show notes, so be sure to check it out ASAP. So back to our guest today. Jo is in her 60s. I hope you don't mind me mentioning your age bracket, Jo. I just think it's a really important part of your story because there is this perception out there that at a certain age, it's too late for therapy, or it's generally for younger people. And by the way, listeners at home, when I say younger, as I'm literally using my hands to do quotation marks, okay? Now, despite Jo never having participated in therapy before, she found her voice and the courage to set boundaries through participating in the Me, Myself and I Mastery program around 18 months ago. Her story is a testament to the fact that age is no barrier to personal growth and finding one's true self. So Jo, welcome and thank you for joining us today.
Hi V, thank you for inviting me to chat with you and congratulations on launching the new program.
Thank you. So let's set the scene. Can you share a bit about your background and what led you to join the Me, Myself and I Mastery program?
Sure. Well, I was actually drawn to the program by its title, Me, Myself and I, and I was thinking, well, gee, this would be interesting as I'd be doing something especially for me. So in the past, I would often put myself last and I would fit in with people instead of speaking up and choosing to do something which really would have suited me better. I basically didn't advocate for myself. So this led me to not always being treated with the respect I deserve and then led on to a lack of self-confidence.
Yeah, I always remember that with you. And in fact, one of the biggest things I remember about your initial entry was how different you looked to how you look today. And I remember when you got your hair cut halfway through that program and it was like this, she's found herself and she was a totally different person.
Well, the strange thing was I'd always wanted to let my hair go naturally and see what sort of grey it was going to look like, but I didn't have the courage. And then it was like some way through the program, I thought, I'm going to give it a go. And I've kept it ever since.
You rocked up and we were like, oh, my God, what happened? And it was such a beautiful testament. And that's the tiny little things that can shift in a program like this. So as someone who hadn't participated in therapy before, what was your initial impression of embarking on the journey?
Okay, well, over the years, I did have a little bit of counselling, like a few sessions here and there, but they didn't amount to me making changes in my life. So I was thinking, God, a 6 month course sounded fairly intense, but at the same time, I was thinking I could really learn a lot in 6 months.
Yeah, and that's probably the power of the program. And we've often said before that you can have lots of intermittent sessions and they're really effective. There's nothing wrong with them. But unless you have consistent, sustained support, it's unlikely that you will sometimes find the courage to make the change. Or when you do make a change, I mean, nobody starts off learning something perfectly. There's going to be mistakes, and it's being supported through a program that helps you sustain those changes. Because if, you know, you make a mistake, you come back into the group and you go, oh, I fucked it up. And I go, what happened? Tell me. And we unpack the thinking and the feelings so that you get to understand and go, oh, right, now I know why I did it. And once you understand why you do something, you are more likely to be able to change it because you notice it. You can't change something you're not aware of.
Yeah, look, I couldn't agree more.
Excellent. So the Me, Myself and I Mastery Program helped you find your voice and set boundaries. Can you walk us through that process and how it has impacted your life?
Yes, I was definitely a people pleaser. I would avoid conflict and take a subservient role in many areas of my life. The program taught me strategies, for example, how to say no, prioritise my self-care, and re-examine my values and self-beliefs. Prior to the course, the sort of thing that I would do is I would cancel something I had booked for me. If I was called upon to assist someone or invited to catch up with someone, you know, I'd simply cancel what I already had on. But now I would keep my appointment and I'd offer an alternative time that I could assist, or I'd suggest, look, can we make another time for a catch-up? Other instances, for example, my self-care would also be dropped to fit in with others. I'd like to walk my dog before breakfast because this keeps us fit. I like to read the paper and I like to have a decent breakfast because I feel like this sets me up for the day. I now make these my non-negotiables unless an emergency arises, because I know that I definitely function better when I start my day well. I'm happy to even get up an hour earlier to achieve these things because they are really important to me. So the old me would have just dropped everything in a heartbeat to do whatever I was called upon to do. I got into some bad habits, which didn't serve me well. After I walked the dog, I'd just stay in my walking clothes and joggers rather than take the time to change. I'd feel dowdy, I'd feel drab, but I just didn't make the effort to change clothes if I was staying home. But now I make this a non-negotiable. It only takes a few minutes. Seriously, it probably takes me less than a minute to change into a dress and sneakers. And this puts me in good spirits. I just feel and look so much better for it.
Yeah, and that's what we probably notice with the haircut, because, you know, ultimately we can call it people pleasing, we can call it boundaries, all those things. And they are all steps towards something greater. And I think what we underestimate with the self-care and the ability to set boundaries is that it actually shows respect for self. And when you respect yourself, then it is more likely that somebody else will begin to respect you. And that is such a powerful space of feeling valued.
Definitely.
Brilliant. Okay, so what were some of the challenges you faced along the way and how did you overcome them?
Well, I would certainly become anxious when trying new things. I've learned to recognise my inner dialogue and I will now have a go, and I'm certainly not afraid to ask for help. I wasn't as computer literate as some of the other participants in the course, and I did often require assistance. So I was actually learning as I went along. In fact, I hadn't even used Zoom before.
Yeah, that's a big one too. And I love that you've brought that up, because that can be a big barrier for even lots of people, that they don't know how to use the computer or they are hard with it. We've got a really good system. Even now, I mean, the system we're using this time is a little bit different to what you used. So we, you know, I think every time you do something, you want to make it better. So we've looked at trying to make it less clunky. But sometimes delivering online programs is clunky because, you know, everything's got to talk to everything. But we've changed some of that. But what we haven't changed is the support that you get. So I think one of the big things about self-care, especially for your age group, and so please don't take that with disrespect when I say it, is that it was something that was not only not even talked about or considered, it was considered selfish if you did it. So when someone doesn't have a, you know, a theme of self-care in their life, what tends to happen is that they don't ask for things for themselves, and that's help. So what the program sort of forced a lot of people to do is ask for help in some way. And, you know, you're asking for help in terms of the computer stuff was the easiest one that we could do. It was amazing. So I loved that you could learn to, and you had to, that's a vulnerable space. You had to do that pretty early on to do that. But at least we have tech people around to help. And so if that's a concern for anyone, you know, put that at the bottom of your list, because it's the one thing I think that we can always help with. So I'm glad you got to. And look how proficient you are at Zoom now.
Yeah, oh, look, I really appreciated the support, and I had no problem along the way. You know, it was easy.
Excellent. So reflecting on your experience, what would you say was your biggest breakthrough moment during the program?
Okay, well, there were several breakthrough moments, but I'll never get over the weirdest one. Strangely, prior to the course, I would often have this same dream. I was in the back seat of a car. It's literally speeding along, but the scariest part was there was no driver. I was absolutely terrified. In the dream, I was just always trying to get from the back seat into the driver's seat to steer this car, but could never get there. And I just couldn't work out what was holding me back. It was exhausting. I'd wake up feeling shattered. So halfway through the course, I remember having this same dream. And all of a sudden, it literally clicked. It just made sense to me. I was wanting so much to be in the driver's seat, to take control of the vehicle, to basically take control of my life. After having this realization, and by this stage, I had already started to take some small steps towards the life I wanted. Believe it or not, I have never, ever had this dream again. I just find that just was so weird. But getting back to your question, I mean, I honestly think the biggest breakthrough was that I am responsible for my well-being. Put simply, just me. I'm capable, I can steer my way through life. And now that I've got to know myself so well and I have the right tools and I've learned the various strategies, I can do it.
Oh, my God. I love this, Jo. I love it. It's so good. It's dreams are super powerful like that. And we often reflect. I think what's beautiful about that story is that you remember it so vividly. Mm-hmm. And I often use an analogy with, if I've got clients listening now, they'll know the analogy that I'm always using with them. Stay in your lane. Stay in your lane. Get in your driver's seat and get in your lane. Stop crisscrossing all over the road. So it's such an incredibly powerful motto to work by. So the fact that you had that dream is fantastic. I used to have a dream actually when I was in living at home. So I would have only been a teenager, and it was a recurring dream. So we always look at recurring dreams and go, what are they trying to say to you? Yes. And I know why you say it's weird. One of the things that we used to have this water jug, right? You know, I'm in my 50s, so I was a 70s kid. It was like one of those Tupperware water jugs. And my mum used to have it in the fridge all the time. We just used to get cold water out of it. No, nothing major. But I had this constant dream that I was trapped in the jug and I couldn't get out.
No.
Always. Constant dream that I could not get out of the water jug. It was the stupidest thing. Yeah. But it wasn't until I embarked on a bit of a self-discovery journey that I thought, oh, my God, that's me trying to get out of feeling trapped in, you know, in that space. It was a little bit like I grew up in an Italian house where the penis ruled. So it was quite stifling for a long time. And when I did move out of home, I never, ever had the dream again.
They're incredible. I find it fascinating. I really do.
It is. It's fascinating. All right. So the phrase goes, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. For listeners who might be hesitant to engage in personal development later in life, what advice would you offer based on your own experiences?
I really don't believe that you're ever too old to boost your personal development. There are so many stages in life that we go through, and for me, 60 was definitely a turning point. I thought to myself, if I'm lucky enough to have 20 more years, I'm going to make them really memorable.
I love that. I absolutely love that. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that after we finish our interview, because there's something really powerful about this that I wanted to talk about in terms of the stages of life. So can you share any specific strategies or techniques from the Me, Myself and I program that have been particularly helpful for you in navigating life's challenges?
Well, I feel really confident now that I have the resilience to get through whatever life throws at me. I can feel the fear, sadness or anger or whatever emotion it is. I can sit with it, take the necessary steps to navigate myself through a difficult situation. I can also write down my thoughts, and this is a huge help to me when I'm trying to figure things out. I definitely feel comfortable continually challenging my beliefs and how I go about my day-to-day life. If something isn't working for me, I now set about making changes to get the result I want. Life, I feel, is constantly evolving, and I know that I now need to be constantly evolving too. Since completing the course, I'm now a grandma, which is very exciting. I have two granddaughters and another granddaughter arriving next week. I can't believe I've got three granddaughters in less than 2 years. When my daughter and daughter-in-law returned to work, I was babysitting 3 full days each week. I happened to have a history of a bulging disc in my back, and the full days started to give me back problems. So once I recognised this, I had a chat with the girls, negotiated a new routine whereby I can assist for 2 half days and continue, obviously, with ad hoc babysitting. And guess what? I haven't had any more back problems. So the old me would have, honestly, I would have pushed through. I've no doubt I would have ended up in hospital, which has been the case in the past. And I thought, I'm so pleased that I've been able to speak up and we've worked something out that's worked out for all of us.
Absolutely. And so in that whole theme there, what I heard a little bit is that you've taken yourself from, you know, sometimes feeling helpless into and obligated into more control and just responsibility for yourself.
Exactly. So I could have in the past thought I feel guilty, I've made a commitment, but really to the detriment of looking after myself.
Oh, and you've hit that little trigger word, haven't you? Bloody guilt.
Yes.
So many yes. people fall into that guilt trap. I have to do this. I feel bad. I do that. Every time you fall into that guilt trap, you literally disrespect yourself ultimately, because if you're feeling guilty about feeling good, then you're going to pay the price. Someone yes. else, you have to feel bad for somebody else to feel good. It's a funny little tricky space. So I'm so glad. So that doesn't mean you never feel guilt, I'm sure, but I would imagine it's probably significantly reduced.
Oh, definitely, yes.
Absolutely, love it. Okay, so tell me, in what ways have you noticed a shift in your relationships or interactions with other people in your life since completing the program?
I definitely feel closer with my friends and family. I've become a better communicator. I'm not afraid to speak up, and I can speak openly and honestly with them. I've also learned to prioritise my time according to my values. My husband and I, we definitely have a healthier relationship, which stems from better communication, and we work even better as a team. I don't hold back from sharing my thoughts and ideas and negotiating a good outcome for both of us. For example, prior to my grandchildren arriving, I had this great idea. I thought it would be good to change our games room to a nursery and kids' play area. The problem was this meant removing my husband's pool table, which he'd owned for 20 years. So the pool table hadn't been used for 10 years, well, only for me to fold washing on, but I just knew that he liked having it there and he had an attachment to it. So I was able to put forward my reasons for wanting the kids' play area and how it would then become this functional room. And he was then able to see the logic. And honestly, the playroom is ideal. The kids, they love coming over and heading to the toy room. But see, what I started doing was I wouldn't come forward and say what I was thinking because I knew that he loved his pool table and he wouldn't really want to remove it. So I just wouldn't raise it. So I think that's an issue. He's not a mind reader. I had, you know, just stopped sharing what I was really after.
And that's a key component in the Me, Myself and I program. Probably my favourite part of the program is when we start to unpack the stories that we create. And so there's a particular technique that we use to develop the characters in our stories that we have. And one of the stories there that you have really played into the story of making his needs more important than yours, which was the pool table is important to him and blah, 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 blah. But it totally discounted the games room's importance to you.
Correct.
And by not saying anything, even to open the discussion, it just eliminates your needs altogether. And that's how the people pleasing comes in. Sometimes it's not even the other person that has said a word, because like you said, he can't mind read, but you had people pleased without even opening your mouth. Yeah, just from the story inside your head.
Exactly. I know.
Yeah, what a powerful shift in a relationship to be able to be authentic with each other enough that you can offer your ideas and come to a resolution. I mean, it doesn't matter any age there. I've got couples who have been married for bloody 6 months. I've got couples who have been married for 20 years who still can't do that.
Right. Yeah.
Right. And so it's such a powerful shift, and it is the most incredible shift in a relationship. And I think that's why I wanted to ask that question in terms of, you know, it's all well and good to do personal development, but we don't want personal development to alienate us from the people that we love. Because there are sometimes I've seen development courses that make people so independent that they then remove themselves from everything that they love in their life. Personal development is meant to enhance your relationships, not pull you away from them. So I love that you have been able to integrate it into fostering closeness as opposed to, you know, just going, well, I'm out, you know, because that's sometimes what personal development courses can do. People are afraid of that often. The word, what am I going to learn about myself? What if I don't want to be where I am? You get to choose wherever, but you get to choose to use what you learn in the same space and get a different result.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So what would you say to someone who feels like they've lost their voice or their sense of self?
I'd say I've been there. Many, many others have also been there. So you're not alone. Feeling like you've lost your voice or identity, it's a real concern. And it does affect all areas of your life. It's soul destroying. You really do need to reach out for some counselling and support. Your confidence will be restored and you really will feel like a brand new person with a totally new outlook on life.
Yeah, yeah, and that's super, super powerful. So looking back on your journey, what is the one message or takeaway you would like to impart to our listeners?
Well, I believe seeking help is not a sign of weakness. It is a sign of strength. It takes courage to recognise that you could do with some assistance to achieve the results that you want, to become the person you want to be and to move forward to have the life you deserve.
Bloody beautiful. Couldn't have answered that better myself. So how do you envision continuing your personal growth and development journey moving forward?
I want to take the risks and opportunities that come up in the future and just allow life to unfold. I want to continue to have trust in myself and have a go at new things. Life is an adventure, and so my husband and I are now off travelling to Sicily in May, which we're very excited about. I've just started learning Italian and I've met some lovely people in the course. I want to continue to be kind to myself, to use my voice, voice my opinion, take some deep breaths and basically live life to the fullest.
Beautiful. Now, I think you have summed up one of the reasons that I wanted to share your journey with the Me, Myself and I program, because what you said was you take the risks and opportunities that present in the future and just allow life to unfold. And so what was important to me about interviewing you was that in my almost 11 years of being a therapist, you reflect the age group that we see today who are often very dissatisfied with their life right now. You also reflect the age group that are least likely to present for therapy for various reasons, whether it's financial or access, even accessing. Sometimes people don't know where to start. Could be anything. Often it's simply preconditioned beliefs about therapy itself. But the thing is that in psychology, life is broken up into different phases, and you touched on this earlier. So obviously we have childhood, adolescence, and adulthood, but they are each broken down into their various stages themselves. And one of those stages is aging. Aging is not about assessing your creaks and cracks. It's about wisdom and learning. This stage has a couple of key components that we look at that can indicate how a person will age mentally. Now, round those words off for the listeners listening to me. If you have a significant medical disorder affecting a parent like Alzheimer's or dementia, like my mum does, then this does not apply. However, prior to that diagnosis, there is a long time between getting old and aged, right? At any point in that time, if you can reflect back on life with a sense of achievement or joy, then a successful life lived will result in a general sense of satisfaction and wisdom. Well, it doesn't matter what's happened in your life. If you can look back on your life and go, gee, some of that was shit, but bloody hell, we had a great time here, or I learned an enormous amount from that, then you will have a sense of satisfaction. That is one of the key components to a life in aging where you will have, well, your satisfaction and your wisdom about your life. If, however, you consistently reflect back on your life with a sense of dissatisfaction, then the result is often that your continued aged life will be with regret, with bitterness, with despair, and a feeling that your life has been wasted. Right? That's the key components of one of the stages of aging, which is the final stage of life. Just to be able to, you showed me that you can live a beautiful life, whether it doesn't matter what part of it we're in, what stage we're in, right? Because I see too many aged people who are really dissatisfied, and I wonder, it's their future, and I'm wondering, is it because they're looking at their future or because they're still looking at their past?
Right.
And if it's that point, if you have a dissatisfied life because you are looking at your past, then the Me, Myself, and I program is the one thing that can shift that, because that is what we unpack in there to a degree that it will not have to affect your future. Would you agree with that, with the program?
I would. And I also think really your mindset is everything. It's basically
Absolutely. Yeah.
And how often do you meet someone who could be in their 40s, but their mindset, they might as well be 70. You know, and likewise, someone in their 80s is still saying, oh, can you teach me how to use an iPad? And you think, oh, my God, how amazing.
It is. That's the thing. But and that's why, for me, the question is, and I want what listeners, if you're out there, and not, this is not, you know, targeted to every aged person in Perth. It's targeted to all of us who are, you know, if there's one thing that I can guarantee you, you're going to most, well, 90% of the time, most of us are going to make it to aging. Right, we're all gonna. I'm not gonna wish on you an early death, but we're most of us are gonna be there and aging. So if you are dissatisfied with your life now, often that's because you're stuck in looking at a past that you will continue to use as a tool in your future. You know, look at, do I want to continue doing that? Because if I'm dissatisfied now, how bloody dissatisfied am I going to be when I can't live the life I want anymore because I'm too freaking old?
Yes.
So that has been, for me, the privilege of working with you. And why I wanted to highlight that is it's never too late to change your view of life, no matter what has happened. Because let's face it, by then, by the time you get to 60, you've got a shit ton of baggage. But yes, by changing your view, you can change how you feel in life and change how you act. So, Joe, thank you for joining us on the podcast today. I've loved working with you. I've loved seeing you grow and evolve and connect with all the other ladies in your round of the program. So before we go, just quickly talk to me about that, because I know that your group in particular, you girls, oh, my God, you connected so much at the time.
We did. Throughout the course, I had a really close bond with the other participants. And this is something that I just didn't expect whatsoever. We all decided at the end of the course, we're definitely going to go out for a catch-up meal, which we did. We laughed and we chatted. Honestly, it was like we'd known each other all our lives, and we just had the best time. We all became instant friends, and we've continued to keep in touch, and we have catch-ups whenever we can. So that certainly wasn't something that I'd imagined, and I just really cherish their friendship. I really, really do.
Yeah, oh, I love that, because I think that's one of the things that the, you know, and online, you know, I've got a sales page. We all know that there. I'm flicking you over to it every time I talk about me, myself and I program. And it will give you as much information as it can. But one of the things it can't give you is the ability to understand the impact of the program itself and how it helps you form deeper connections, because a guided program like I offer means that there is a lot more face-to-face contact, both with me and with the other participants. So the fact that when you said we all felt like we'd known each other forever, that's because there, you guys probably know more about each other than probably half your family does, because there are certain parts of the program that will be intense, but the intensity is for the impact and the deep connections that are built from that. And that's the power in a guided program. So I didn't want to walk away without you, because your group in particular, I'm almost jealous every time you girls catch up, because I think, oh, where's my invitation? But hence, I am the facilitator. It is not right for me to go for dinner with you. But I love the way that those were formed and still continue today. I mean, that's 18 months down the track. That's a beautiful set of connections to be able to form.
Yeah, and although you're not there, you are talked about in a very, very good way. So you're with us in spirit.
I know. I'm sure my ears are burning every time. But that's okay. I always love that. I often say to people, you know, the good thing about working with me is often it's a bad thing. You're going to hear my voice in your head, and sometimes that's not pleasant.
No, you say that, but from me, no, that's a good thing.
Oh, good. I'm glad. All right, so for those of you listening, if you are looking to elevate your life and need effective support to take you from where you are now to where you want to be, doors close for the Me, Myself and I Mastery program this Friday. You have heard it from the horse's mouth, people. You've heard how effective this program can be over and over again. So it's now up to you, and time is running out. Jump on the website via the show notes and make 2024 your year of growth and expansion. I cannot wait to work with you. Thank you once again for joining us on Not Your Average Counselor. And remember, sometimes our regrets aren't what we did, it's what we didn't do. Jo, it's been a pleasure. I'll see you next time.
Thank you so much for me. From the bottom of my heart, I really do thank you.
Doors are now open to the Me, Myself and I Mastery program. Jump on the website now to find out more and sign up today. And if you are thinking, man, I'm so busy, I don't have time for this, check your phone usage. My bet is you spend more than 2 hours a day scrolling socials. So I think you can spare a couple of hours a week to invest in yourself and change the trajectory of your whole life for the better. And if you are thinking, oh, I'll just book a session when I need it, well, how's this for a truth bomb? Yes, ad hoc therapy sessions can be beneficial, but they will only get you so far. Real change happens when you consistently work in an intimate environment with someone who can pick up on your patterns and allow you to see what you're not seeing. My Me, Myself and I Mastery program has been designed to do just that. Visit my website and join me today. I can't wait to work with you and help you build the bridge between where you are now and where you want to be.